James chapter number 1. We'll start reading in verse 22. And we'll read down through verse number 27. You got it on. Okay. Thank you, Josh. Amen. I got a little bit of a testimony. I might work it into the preaching. I don't know. But if I don't, I'll go ahead and tell you I was... I went to help my mama Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We have to have 24/7 with her now. It's just me and my brother. So we kind of went to give them a break, and then we got some other help. And mama's 94 years old, and she's... You know, just one day at a time. That's what we never know what day we're leaving here. Wouldn't surprise me to get a call at most any time. But while we were there, her first cousin called. I think he called to talk to her, and then they passed the phone to me. His name was Eddie Howard. And Eddie's seems to be more of my first cousin than Mama's first cousin, because Mama's brother was born when my grandmother was in her 40s. So she's got a brother that is 77 or 78. And so my daddy went on a 9-month cruise years ago, back in the 50s. And while he was gone, we moved in with my grandmother. And, of course, Alec, A-L-E-X, we call him Alec. He was at home, and he was like my brother, my cousin. So we had bicycle wrecks and all of that. Well, Eddie and him, Eddie's just a little bit younger than him. He was in Vietnam. And he was telling me about them two going to be baptized. We grew up Methodist. We were sprinkled. And now they have left the Methodist, United Methodist. And so the preacher they got will baptize them by immersion. And so they was wanting to get baptized, but he said Eddie's having trouble with it. And so I said, well, what kind of trouble? Said, well, Eddie just don't know if he can be forgiven, you know, for all that he's done in war. And that does weigh very, very, very heavy on people. And so all of a sudden, Eddie called, and he got on the telephone. I was talking on another phone. I had my cell phone in this hand, the landline in this hand. Told the man on the cell phone, I'll get back with you. So I went back to my bedroom where I could be by myself. And Eddie just absolutely unloaded on me. And to make a long story short, Eddie Howard got saved at 77 years of age. And now he's going to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. We had quite a, you know, you can imagine... We were on the phone quite a while and had to answer a lot of questions, but that's my testimony, and I thank God for that, that happened, and we all rejoice over that when one more soul gets saved by the grace of God. Amen. Brother Danny, I didn't think you were here. Saw your wife sitting up here in the choir, and I looked around, you wasn't there, and I said, oh, my goodness, where's he at? But there he is. So anyway, if you would take your Bibles and turn to James, and the first chapter in verse number 22, I think I've already mentioned that, but you get your places there. It's good to have my daughter Andrea and my son-in-law Roy and my grandson Elijah and my granddaughter, Elena. And boy, was I in trouble this morning. Came back from Wilkes County last night. My wife kept saying, I'm hurting all over. I'm sick. She was sick. Time we got home, she's still sick this morning. And I, thank you, I had to get ready by myself. And I don't always do that anymore. She helps me. Actually, I didn't realize till this morning how much she does help me get ready. And so I missed that. And you know, if you've been here when we got here, I don't drive. She drives me. And so I had to drive myself over here, Brother Dave. I didn't like that. Brother Dave had to help me get to Arkansas and back. I appreciate y'all loaning me him when we did that. But anyway, it seems like it's worse when you don't have somebody help you than it ever is. And it seemed that way this morning. I said, I didn't think I was going to make it to Sunday school on time, but I did. And so praise the Lord for that, because I enjoyed the Sunday school, always do. I don't miss Sunday school, Lord willing, unless something really comes up. But anyway, I have had to leave at 4 in the morning to go on the other side of Valdosta to get there for Sunday school. But I've done that. I've wanted to do that because I want to be there for all of it. I don't want to miss anything that God has for me. And so anyway, let's pray for the preacher and Sister Angela. I heard he's ordained, and where's Brother John? A son-in-law. A son-in-law's a preacher, and they're ordaining him in that service, and then they'll be traveling, I think. Pray for me. I'll be preaching again tonight at Revival Baptist Church in Blairsville. So Brother C's preaching that this morning. And listen, be sure to tell him I told you, because he'll wonder if I did. He and Sister Glenda said to tell y'all hello and said give y'all his regards. Now, I've done that, okay? You're a witness to that. All right, I got that out of the way. And so verse number 22, I want to preach this morning this message. Actually, my text will be verse 23, but we'll start reading with verse number 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Now, don't raise your hand, but I wonder how many of those do we have? How many often hear the Word of God and so seldom practice the Word of God? Now notice what he said. He compares this person. He said, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Could I say that that would be a mirror? How many of you this morning, with the exception of Brother Carl, looked into the mirror to comb your hair or did something of that nature? Now, he does. The only mirror he has need of is the Word of God. And although he may not be able to see physically, he can see spiritually from the mirror of the Word of God. He said, for he, notice verse 24, beholdeth himself, goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. All right, let's look in the mirror, and let's just suppose we're all out of place. Our face is all dirty. We've got boogers in our eyes from getting up in the morning. They're all matted up. And we turn and walk away without doing a thing about it. Now, that's exactly what he's saying when we look into the Word of God, which is a reflection of a mirror where we see. Let me ask you this question. when you were lost and without God, did you see yourself in the mirror of the Word of God and able to see it? And because you were able to see yourself, did something about it and got saved by the grace of God. But how many times were you sometimes like me? How many times did I ignore it? How many times did I walk away from it before I came back and looked again and got saved by the grace of God? Verse 25, but whoso looketh into, now that word looketh, notice with me, it has the idea, it is a perfect participle, and it means that he looks and looks and look. How long have you and I been looking and looking and looking and still looking into the perfect law of liberty, which is the Word of God? And continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be, here's what I want you to see, shall be blessed in his deed. Now look at me. Please participate with me. How many of you, Johnny, do you want to be blessed? Would you raise your hand if you want to be blessed? Well, I wouldn't even be here if I didn't want to be blessed, amen? Why would I even bother to come? Why would I be saved? Why would I read? Why would I study the Word of God if I did not want to be blessed? But we cannot be blessed unless we practice what God gives us in the perfect law of God. Verse 26, I'm going to get through with my reading in a moment. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth, don't put a bit, listen, we might ought to have bits in our mouths to lay our tongues down. And he said, bridleth not his tongue, notice who's deceived. But deceiveth his own heart. He said, wait a minute, if you don't put a bridle, a bit in your mouth, on your tongue, he said, then you're deceiving your own heart. He said, this man, you ain't deceiving me, you're deceiving yourself. This man's religion is vain. What's the word vain mean? Say it to me. It means empty, without. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Please tell me, please talk back to me and tell me whose responsibility it is to keep yourself unspotted from the world. It's me. It's you. Sometimes we go and we just stand up and say, God, here I am. Keep me from this world. But that's not what he says. He said that we are to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Now, let's get in this scene in the mirror. And let me say this on the way and while we're just making some introduction this morning. I read this. I heard this. I thought it was good. So I remembered it that I might repeat it back to you, where an old man, I think he was up here in the mountains of North Carolina, was out in the woods, and while he was out in the woods messing around maybe looking for some ginseng or something like that, or some ramps, reached down, picked up a mirror. But he never had seen a mirror. And so he turned the mirror over, and when he did, he saw his face. He said, "I wish you'd look at that. Somebody has dropped a picture of my old granddaddy up here in the woods." So he took the mirror home, turned it up, so turned it where you could see the mirror, laid it down on the dresser. His wife came in. She passed by, picked the mirror up, and looked at it and said, "That's that old hag he's been meeting up in the mountains." Well, that's kind of what a mirror does to us, isn't it? James, probably one of my favorite books in the Bible. Every time I say that this is my favorite book, then all of a sudden another one becomes my favorite book. So probably, Brother Brandon, all of them are my favorite books. But James just always is so practical, so living, so practicing the Word of God, that I love this book. But he's constantly referring to and talking about the Scripture. James is, I think I could say it this way, is a Bible man. Dr. Graham Scroggie, in a book called Know Your Bible, says for a fact that this brief epistle of but 5 chapters and 108 verses, there are references to. And now you need to remember this, because in 5 chapters, 108 verses, he says this, there are references to Genesis, there are references to Exodus, references to Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, 1 Kings, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and to 7 out of the 12 minor prophets. Now your homework is to go find them. Okay? Another leading authority on the epistle of James has said that he is found in this little 5-chapter book no less than 15 connections, not in word, but in idea, with the Sermon on the Mount. So I think we should be able to glean something from the book of James, don't you? And so one of the offices, one of the purposes of the Bible, the Word of God, according to verse number 23 in James chapter 1, is to act as a mirror in the Word of God. Notice, I'm just the phrase in verse 23, like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. That word natural is an interesting word. It means the face that this man was born with. My natural face is the face I was born with. And then, thank God, I got me another face when I was born again into the family of God. I was the natural man
receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because he is spiritually discerned. And so the natural face is the face I was born the first time with, amen, not the face that I was born with the second time into the family of God. It means the face you were born with. You can't help that face. Or can you? Some of the ladies, help me, try their best to help that natural face they were born with. They spend money on it. I know my wife does that. And so maybe your wife does that. And they do this and they do that. From the outside of their faith. And sometimes I wish to God they'd leave it alone. And then sometimes I see some, I wish to God they wouldn't leave it alone. Amen? And so you got two kinds there, and you can put whatever you want to in there. There is a way of improving your face on the inside. Oh, when I got born again, Brother Dave, into the family of God, my face didn't just change on the outside. My face changed on the inside, which helped my face to change on the outside. Why? Because I pray to God that others could see the glow of God that happened to my face, and the countenance of my face changed when I got saved. Amen. By the grace of God. We're all alike in one way. We all were born with the same disease that is called sin. We were born with a death sentence. We had to be quickened. We had to be made alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so the disease that we were born with, called sin, is fatal. The result is death. And some more. All of us had it. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse number 9. Most of you, probably all of you, can quote this verse. Say it with me. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And who can know it? Can I ask you a question, Michael? Who taught you to sin? Did your mother teach you to sin? Did she teach you to lie? She didn't have to. You were born speaking lies. Amen? In sin, the Bible said, did my mother conceive me? And so the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can that? Lest we forget, the Bible is really a double-barrel gun. The Bible doesn't have a single barrel. It has a double barrel, and sometimes six or eight. And on and on and on it goes. It's not only intended to show us up, but it's also intended to clean us up. And so first of all, the Bible showed me up and showed me what a sinner I was, got me under conviction, and I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And there He cleaned me up. And I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Remember in typology, you recall this, a piece of furniture that was in the Old Testament tabernacle court. It was called the laver. The laver was made, somebody tell me, the laver was made out of bronze. Its object was to provide cleansing for the priests that you talked about this morning. And I thought about when you said that this morning, Brother Brandon, I thought about what if all of us today, when we walked into Mission Hill Baptist Church, would be so conscious as if we were walking into the Holy of Holies with sin. I wonder if it would make a difference when we walked into the house of God, if we made sure that we acted like we were entering into the Holy of Holies without sin before we got here. Aren't you glad for grace?
Amen.
Before they entered into to do their priestly duties, Exodus 38:8 tells us how it was made. The laver was made of bronze. From what? From the bronze mirrors of the women. It provided the fountain for cleansing and pointed to the way to the amended life. Our life, your life, my life was amended when the Holy Spirit of God came in to rule and reign. Probably had something to do with, I'm assuming, something to do with Psalm 119 and verse number 9. How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thank God the word of God amended my life, and the word of God amended your life. So one of the dangers for the Bible reader according to the word of God is to be content with the casual glance at the mirror. Verse 24, please look at that. Notice what he does. He observes himself. Has the idea of just taking a casual glance. He glances in the mirror and makes such little impression, Brother Danny, that he immediately forgets what kind of man he is. How many times have you come to church? Now, please be honest with me. Brother Jerry, and left the same way you came. We should never, ever come to the house of God and listen to the preaching of the Word of God without responding to it and leaving a different man than we came.
Amen.
Before you enter the Holy of Holies, Ask God to show you. Ask God to give you something. Ask God to make you a new person so that when others see you, they don't see you. They see the person that lives in you.
Right.
I wonder, has this happened to me and you? Have we ever, let me ask you a question. You ever looked at your watch to see what time it is? Maybe you have a pocket watch. You look at it. Maybe you have one on your wrist like I do. And you look at it. And in 1 second, Brother Carl, somebody says, Brother Brown, I saw you look at your watch. Could you tell me what time it is? You can't. You didn't look at it. You glanced at it. You just bet you wasn't taking it in. It just didn't register with you. You put it back in your pocket. You couldn't tell the man what time it was until you pulled it back out and looked again, and you didn't glance at it. You gazed at it. How many times do we sit in the house of God, and when you walk out that door, you couldn't say anything that God spoke to you about? In the same offhanded way, we sometimes look at the mirror, at the Word of God in church. Too many times we're really not paying attention. How many of you this morning would raise your hand right now and say, Brother Brown, I am listening to you on purpose. I am hearing what you're saying. Raise your hand if you're really listening. I ain't talking about if you're goofing off. Ain't no telling. Some may be playing tic-tac-toe. I mean, that's happened. I can give you that incident most any time. Are you really listening? Are you listening on purpose? Did you really come wanting God give you something? I mean, really, don't. James wrote this. Brother Brown didn't write this. I'm not even preaching my message, Brother Josh. I'm preaching James's message. Ain't I? I'm preaching another man's message. This is what he's preaching in it. So James said, what good will it do him? It's not how much you read, but what do you remember that you can use? It's almost better, according to verse 22, that you didn't hear it at all, or that you heard it and you haven't done it. Sometimes we come to church, brace yourself, mechanically. We've done it so long. It is a habit. We just come. It's time to come. It's time to stand up. Time to make the announcements. Time to get the offering. Time to sing a song. We just...
Right.
But if you don't take home something, It has been in vain. And the big problem is you're not deceiving me. According to the Word of God, you are deceiving yourself. Guess who? When you deceive yourself, guess who you disappoint? The Lord God. I haven't. James is not. He is not questioning my regeneration. He is not questioning your regeneration. He's still a saved person. But his religion, according to this, is at fault. His religion, his claim of salvation, Brother Jerry Lee, is not carrying any weight. When you still have the same face, your religion is not carrying any weight. Now let's turn to the brighter picture. I'm going to finish with this. One of the purposes, verse 25 of Bible reading and study, is to induce a careful gaze. Notice our verse. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be, say it, blessed in his deed. Signifies a careful, a earnest gaze. Can I illustrate it this way without, my intention would never be to hurt anybody's feelings. But several years ago, I went to the VA. Well, I can't remember now if it was the VA in Augusta or the VA in Savannah. But one, and I can't remember what knee it was, right or left. But I remember going in there, and there was a black girl that brought out a needle. That needle looked 6 or 8 inches long. I figured when she put that stuff in my knee, it would go through to the other side. And it was a big old syringe, looked like that water bottle. And she brought that thing out. Now, you know what happened to me? Somebody tell me. My eyes got big. And she was going to put that needle in the joint of my neck. She did put it in there. You know how to do it, Brother Steve. You understand where I'm at. And I watched it as it moved around in there. And I asked her before she started, I said, is this going to hurt me? Here's what she said. She said, some say it do, and some say it don't. And I didn't know which one I was. But she put it in there, and I did all right. It didn't hurt me too bad. I asked her another question. I said, how long before this takes effect in my knee? She said, some say right off, and some say maybe a week. I still didn't know where I was. And then I just stared at her. I just looked, Brother Dan. I just looked. She said, sir, what are you doing? I said, I'm looking at you. I'm staring at you. Why are you staring at me? I said, really and truly, I am taking your picture. Because if and when this works, I want to know what you look like so I'll know where to come back. Amen?
Amen.
That's what we do in the Word of God. We don't glance at it. We gaze at it. We stare at it. We take a picture of it. Looketh signifies a careful, earnest gaze. Notice, he is obedient. He is observant reader, giving heed to what he finds. I asked somebody one time, I said, well, I said, if I can open the Bible and show you exactly what the Word says, would you believe me then? He was honest. He said, probably not. Do you know if I come to the house of God not planning to make any changes, I won't make any. The only time it'll help me is when I plan. Anybody here dissatisfied with your Christian life? Can I answer that? Probably not. I'm not trying to be mean, but I watch it too much. I know some sitting here today. No, I'm pretty satisfied with the way I am. I'm not. I don't ever want to be satisfied in my Christian life. The Bible calls this the perfect law of liberty. Because to do what it says is the secret to free, to true freedom. The secret to true freedom is the perfect law of liberty. And we can have it without defilement, without disfigurement. We can see our spots and blots that are revealed in the mirror of the Word of God. Now, I gotta quit. I can't finish. He is a doer of the work. But this man, whatsoever he doeth, say it with me, shall be blessed. Now, I've tried deliberately to make that simple. Hope I did it. Simple. Could you think right now? Would you dare ask the Holy Spirit of God, what is it in your life that needs to be different? Talking to my son on the telephone. We were talking about sin. I said, son, it's not just the sin of commission. That's the things that we do that are wrong. We know that. We know it right off the bat. But what about the sin of omission? What about the things that you and I know we should be doing and we're not doing? Does God hold us accountable of that? Yes. Our heads are bowed.